We come now to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which really is healing medicine for the groaning of the believer's soul. And this verse surely has been such a comfort through the years. How often I know personally I have claimed a Romans 8, 28, and I'm sure you have as well. I think of Elizabeth Elliot, who served as a missionary with her husband Jim in the jungle of Ecuador. In 1956, she heard by shortwave radio that her husband of 27 months was missing. 5 days later, she knew that her husband had been killed. She wrote that God's presence didn't change the fact of my widowhood, but Jim's absence hurried me to God, my hope and my only refuge. Now, she couldn't see at that moment how everything was working together for good, but she would see it more and more in the years ahead. And at her homegoing in 2015, she saw her Savior's plan and purpose in full light. And so let's look at this verse together and see what truths we can hold on to today, what truths we can believe. You and I need to hold on to Romans 8, 28. Let's say it together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. The Greek word for know means a knowledge that is gained by spiritual perception. And I trust that the Holy Spirit today will give us this perception, will give us this understanding. And these are our 2 points. What can we know, and who can know it? Our first point is, what can we know? Well, we can know that all things work together for good. When Paul speaks of all things, what is he referring to? Well, a pretty comprehensive list of all things is given by Paul, verses 35, 38, and 39, which include tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, and any other creature. And so all things in the context here do include all the trials and afflictions, the difficulties of life. You know, I only have to look at our prayer bulletin on Wednesday or go through the church directory to know that we are all going through the trials and the difficulties, the tests of life. They are our lot. In fact, I'm surprised oftentimes when someone calls me up and say, Pastor, I want to share a blessing with you. So many of my phone calls are, Pastor, could you pray for this need? Could you pray for this issue? Could you pray for this family member? Life is filled with trials. And we think, well, God, what are you trying to do? And certainly the one who wrote the words, all things, personally understood what he was talking about, what he was writing. Paul spoke of being troubled on every side, perplexed, persecuted, cast down. You think you're having a tough day? Think about Paul. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5, he stated, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul summarized his trials and tribulations, and I read, beginning with verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the brethren, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the brethren. He was in peril all the time, it seems like. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care or the oversight or the burden of the churches. Who is weak? And am I not weak? Who is offended? And I grieve not or burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. He wasn't exaggerating. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, with a garrison desirous to apprehend me, and through a window and a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, after speaking of his thorn in the flesh, he said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. And how could Paul say this? Because he knew that God was working everything for his good. Amen. You know how often it is, and I raise my hand, when the trials or the troubles or the difficulties of life, the first thing I start to do or you start to do is what? Complain. Woe is me. Lord, why me? But what did Paul say? I take pleasure in infirmities. Because he knew God was at work for good on his behalf. Now this verb, work together, is in the active present tense, which means it is God working everything together for our good. It's not the things themselves working together to produce good. It's God's power. It's God's will at work on our behalf. And so it is a continuing, ongoing action of God. What love from our Heavenly Father that when the trials and the difficulties of life come to pass, and they do, that we know we have a loving Heavenly Father that's working all these together for our good. That is love. Now listen to these verses that speak of God's power and authority over all things. And that's important, over all things. Psalm 57, 2, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. John 1, 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Romans 8, 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Ephesians 1, 2, and he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Philippians 4, 13, say it with me, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. 2 Peter 1, 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. What did Paul just say? All these infirmities, reproaches, persecutions, distresses, God gave, permitted in his life to bring to pass glory and virtue. Amen. Friends, God is able to work all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, for our good. Now, if you don't believe that, you'll go through life, you'll go through your day, because life is filled with difficulties. Every day I have a trial in my life. Every day. So what do I do with that trial? Do I say, okay, God, woe is me. I'm going to crawl up in a fetal position and just kind of go away. Now, if you want to live that way, you're wasting your precious moments, time, your life. God has a purpose for the trials that he sends your way. And you've got to believe that. You have got to believe that. Now think about this. This good applies to our lives individually, but it also applies to our family, to our saved or our children, our grandchildren. Meaning we can pray for them and ask God to use the circumstances in their lives to bring what he knows is good for us and for them. And this good also means we need to thank God for each member of our family. And the ultimate good God is working is to bring us to maturity and one day to complete Christ-likeness in his presence. We see this good work declared in several verses. Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It's Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Colossians 1:22 and 23, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Amen. Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You know, my wife used to make sourdough bread. How many of you have ever had sourdough bread? All right, if you haven't had sourdough bread, you have not lived. You need to have sourdough bread at some point before you die. You really do. It's like eating cake. But none of the separate ingredients of the bread, the starter, the flour, the sugar, the salt, the oil, would be tasty by themselves. The final product becomes delicious only after the ingredients have been blended together and cooked. And cooked. Cooked is very important. Amen? And spiritually speaking, that is what the Lord, our God, is doing. He is taking all the highs and the lows of life and allowing us to feel the groans of life, the oven of affliction, so that good will come to pass. And as Paul discovered, the good is the power of God resting upon us. For when we are weak, we become strong as his grace rests upon us, enabling us to believe him to work all for our good. You got to believe it. You have to believe it. For this verse to really come to life, you just can't have it on a wall in one of your rooms at home. You have to believe that God is working all things together for your good. And I'll tell you, that will take you a long ways down the road of life. So let me ask you, do you believe Romans 8:28? Do you believe it? If you don't, this beautiful, necessary promise is going to fly right over you. And you're really going to live a very peaceless life in the midst of the difficulties of life. Our second point is, who can know this? Who can know that all things are working together for good? It is those who are described first from a human perspective as those who love God. And secondly, they are described from God's perspective as those who are called according to his purpose. Now let's look first at the character of those who can claim all things work together for good. It's those who love God. Why would the Spirit of God cause Paul to pen, as he wrote Romans 8:28, those who love God? He didn't just say, well, this applies to everyone. No, he said those who love God. Well, I think we can say those who love God, and I think you could testify to this fact, are those who want God in their life. They want God's will in their life. They want God's plan and purpose in their life. They want God to be working on their behalf in their life. You know, they aren't, God, I'll call you when I need you. God, I need you all the time, and I know you are my hope. You are my help. You are my refuge. Even as Elizabeth Elliot said, but Jim's absence thrust me, hurried me to God, my hope and my only refuge. Is God truly your only refuge? When you really come to that realization, you will start loving that refuge. Now, the verb love is a present participle, which is saying loving God is the pursuit of life, of my life. It is my goal. It is my aim. It is my desire. And of course, the Greek word used here for love is agapao, which is the love of God to man and man to God, which is a holy love, a communing love, a trusting love, a peace-filled love, born of the Holy Spirit, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And so when we fulfill this grand purpose in life, and if there's one thing you want to accomplish in life, it's to be able to come to the end of your life and say, you know what? Maybe I didn't accomplish everything earthly that some people accomplish. But one thing I can say about my life by God's grace is I loved God. I loved Him. And so when we fulfill this grand purpose, that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, and God does His part, which is to work out everything for our good according to His good, acceptable, and perfect will. And yes, we might not understand the whys of our circumstances. We walk through deep valleys. We are perplexed at what we see going on around us. But when we are with Jesus, when we are walking our days with Him, we will have a whole new perspective as we clearly see God's loving hand and heart in everything of our life. We will realize that God is fulfilling the promise of Psalm 126, verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Friends, God's loving kindness, His mercy, His blessings are experienced by those whose character can be described as loving God. And so can you say, I love God because He first loved me. I love this God who is willing and able to work all things together in my life for good. If you're looking for a reason to love God, here it is. Here it is. He wants to take the good, the bad, the ugly things of life, and He wants to work them together for your good and His glory. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. No wonder we can have blessed assurance. No wonder in times like these we have a Savior. No wonder Christ is our sure and steady anchor. No wonder we can sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. I think the problem with most Christians is we have such a small concept of God. So why trust this little God? Why commit your day to this little God? Why love a little God? God is a big God who loves you. And we need to say, Lord, help me to love you. It will transform, and I know we spoke about this love earlier, but it will transform your life when you begin to love God. I think if we were totally honest with ourselves, I wonder really how deep is our love for God. I really wonder that. You know, if you love God, He has everything. He has your time, your talents, your resources, your treasure. He has everything. If you truly love Him. And then the divine blessings of this verse are granted to those who are called according to His purpose. And really, those who love God are those whom God has called. Now, the word called used here means more than simply having received an invitation to accept Christ. That is the general call, and it goes out to every person. Remember, Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But does everyone come? No. But it is a whosoever will may come call. But the word for call here in Romans 8:28 means an effective call. And it is always applied to those who are summoned and given salvation. Remember the words in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And so this is God's call to the elect, Romans 1:6, which states, among whom also ye are the called of Jesus Christ. And so those who love God are those whom God has chosen and called by His grace to a participation in our Redeemer's kingdom as ultimately glorified saints. And understand that this call is not according to the merits of men, but according to God's sovereign purpose and will. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And the word purpose used here refers, of course, to what God will effectively accomplish in those He has called. And what is that? Well, verses 29 and 30 of Romans 8. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. And we'll look at this purpose in more detail next time. But again, the promise of all things working together for good is really given to a specific group whose character is love of God, love for God, and whose calling is by God. They are in Christ Jesus, and they are justified by His blood. Let me ask you, are you justified by the blood of Jesus? Have you accepted Him as your way, only way of salvation? Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior? I trust that each of us this morning can claim Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And honestly, what peace and rest and assurance this verse brings to our hearts as we face both the joys and the trials of life. I say, love Jesus. Yield to His loving and good plan for your life. Believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them who truly, who diligently seek Him.